We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter. This is the Dame More NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. Coming at you Friday night after the Timberwolves' third straight win. Tonight, the Wolves, for the second time this season, dominated the Los Angeles Lakers. Final score was 110 to 92. I remember thinking this morning when I saw that the Wolves were favored in this game that I thought it was a little crazy. You know, not crazy that it was a bad line, that it was obvious to bet on the Lakers or the Wolves, or I don't know, Vegas is smarter than I am that way, but just kind of the simple concept that a game where LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook were all going to be playing on one team and that the Timberwolves were going to be the other team, just the idea that that on paper means, suggests that the Timberwolves are the better team is kind of a wild situation. And obviously there's a ton of context there. The Lakers have not been good this year and the Wolves have been playing well, at least lately. But still, on his face, just being favored against a LeBron James team is pretty wild. And I just kind of started thinking, I wonder how many times in LeBron's career the Wolves have been, you know, favored in a game against LeBron. I was thinking about that before the game and I thought the one that came to mind was, I remember during the Jimmy Butler year, when the Cavs came to town, you know, the Wolves were pretty good that year. I remember there's like the Tyus Jones kind of like dunked on or around LeBron. And I was like, you know, maybe that was a home game. Maybe the Wolves were favored in that. And then as I was kind of thinking about that game and that Jimmy team, it was the first time that this whole season it had even crossed my mind that this current Timberwolves team might be better than that Jimmy team. And might. Not saying they are, but might. I mean, obviously that Butler team was a three seed before Jimmy got hurt. They were a good team. They finished the season over 500. This Wolves team is not over 500. But it was on my mind as this game was going on, and it got kind of more and more on my mind as Karl Anthony Towns in this game began to dominate Anthony Davis. And he did dominate AD tonight, you know, and very similar to the way he dominated Jokic in the last game. Shocker, another team that tries to guard Cat with the center, didn't work. They didn't bring the double team. We know against Cat that doesn't work, but this Cat for the last three games is becoming a different type of weapon that teams are having serious trouble slowing down. And I think that's the difference between the Jimmy team and this current team, Cat. I think Cat's the difference. Jimmy was the best player on that team, and you know, Cat was the second best player. Cat is obviously the best player on this team, and there's no Jimmy, so on paper, that sounds like an overall downgrade, and maybe it is, but this Cat, the point I'm trying to make is that this Cat is better. This Cat, for the last three games at least, this Cat who's starting to figure things out, I think this Cat is a better player than even Jimmy Butler. What we've seen from Cat these last three games is not only dominance, but awareness that allows him to be dominant. He's beginning to be aware of how to read the floor. He's getting used to the way he's being guarded. but he's also becoming more self-aware, and I think that's probably even more important. Tonight after the game, in his post-game press conference, he said the only player that can beat him is himself. And I think for a lot of us who have been watching Cat for many years, we know that's accurate, but also very self-aware. And I think that awareness will be the key for this team to become better than that Jimmy team was in 2017-18. Here's Cat after the game.
You've been defended a lot of different ways this season. Coach Finch was just talking about how when it's a one-on-one matchup, you've been as dominant as you can be. When you see that you are going to be guarded just without that double team in the course of a game, like, how do you change how you're approaching your offensive game when you know you're being guarded by just one?
Just be ultra aggressive. And also understanding that the double mate, because it didn't come on the catch from the pass, doesn't mean it's not coming on the first dribble or second dribble, so, or in the lane line. So, you know, seeing that right away, just trying to make a move and a logical move and be very aggressive and utilize my strength and my skill. So, like I said, I just feel that no one could guard me. So I go out there with the mentality that, you know, I just have to make the right plays, keep the game simple, play my game. Because I feel at the end of the day, the only person who could beat me is me. And it's just my mind that will cost me when I try to get too cute and I try to show more of the package in my bag. We always say show more of the bag that I don't need to show. Just get to the simple move, shoulder hit, drop step, hook shot, easy, 2 points. I don't need to have any flair with it. Just got to get the job done.
Cat did get the job done tonight, and he did it in a very Cat way. I don't think the final stat line describes Cat's dominance as it often doesn't. He had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 11 of 10 shooting, 2 of 6 from 3. That's certainly not one of Cat's best games of his career, but I thought it was one of his more... I thought it was kind of up there as one of his more dominant performances. I just think in this case, we often... Cat gets labeled with that empty stat sort of thing. I think this was kind of the opposite. I think those stats were more full than they suggest. The final line isn't that big because Cat kind of knocked the Lakers out of the game in the first half. Cat had 23 first half points. They had no answers for him that half. Anthony Davis could not stop Cat. So in the second half, that garnered extra attention onto Cat. And yeah, you know, it slowed Cat down. I guess he only had 5 second half points, but what happened was other players got going in that second half because of the attention that Cat was deservedly receiving. Beasley had 12 points in the second half. Jalen Noel had 12 in the second half. D'Lo had 6. Pat Bev had 5. Jane McDaniels had 5. And Cat's dominance in the first half is what allowed everyone else on the team to collectively beat the Lakers in that second half. And in a night when Anthony Edwards is in the health and safety protocols, I mean, that's what this team needed. You don't replace Anthony Edwards with one player. You don't replace his production in that way. You replace his production with a team. And I think on this team, for that to happen, Cat needed to unlock the rest of the team. I thought Chris Finch put it really well post-game about how Cat has clearly taken the challenge of playing Nikola Jokic and Anthony Davis these past two games, but that he didn't take that challenge necessarily personally. He did it within the flow of the offense. And I thought that was, one, really encouraging, but also accurate. Here's Chris Finch.
With Carl, you mentioned, you know, going up against some of his fellow big men the last couple of games here. Do you sense that he is trying to stake a claim to being the best big man in the league?
100%. I think that was his goal coming into the season, was to reestablish himself as a premier big in this league. So when he gets these matchups, he's bringing his best game. What I really admire about him right now is that he's doing it within the flow of what we need. It's not like a personal battle, but it's actually coming within the flow. And his teammates are doing a great job of finding him and riding him, you know. And then from that, we'll maybe move on. But when we need, we go back to him, and he stays within the flow of the game. Like, we were trying to get him some post-ups early, but he kept finding B's and these other shooters too, so he was making the right play. In the third quarter, we kind of broke the game open. So it wasn't just all about him trying to score.
Chris, after struggling in the post for much of the early part of the season, it really feels like Carl's starting to find a groove in that part of his offensive game. What do you think you would attribute him just being more effective on his post ups?
Well, he's not facing double teams. He's facing one on one in the post, and I think he's the best post player with his back to the basket in the league. And he, if he, you know, when he gets a one on one matchup, no matter who it is, he has great confidence in himself and his ability to get to his spots and make a shot. He's doing everything strong and simple, as we said. We face so much double teaming and so many different defensive looks with him. But when teams have played him one-on-one, he's had this type of success really all season, but we just haven't seen a lot of one-on-one down there.
We've talked on here about how post-ups have been a problem for Cat this year. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about how Cat was the most inefficient high-volume post-up player in the league thus far, or at that point of the season. And that's true, and that's still true to some extent, just on the numbers alone, but Finch also isn't wrong. On Synergy, you can separate for post-up possessions where a player is single-teamed versus when a player is double-teamed in those post-up situations. And this year, when Cat has been hard-doubled, he's turned the ball over 24% of the time. That's far and away the highest turnover frequency of any of the high-volume post-up players. And those turnovers are making it so those possessions that Cat is doubled are only generating 0.7 points per possession. That's really a really low number. But on the possessions that Cat hasn't been doubled this year, those possessions have been pretty good, pretty close to his career average in post-up situations. He's at 0.9 points per possession. The issue this year in the post is that Cat has been getting doubled more than ever before. According to Synergy on that list, the only player who's being doubled and who has been doubled in the post more this season than Cat is Joel Embiid. So yes, it was a bit of a gift tonight that the Lakers naively decided to not double Cat tonight. Not a great strategy, we know that. But at the same time, I think this is just overall encouraging to see Cat in any post situation where he is having success, because that will be the difference for this team. If they can get more profitable post-up situations, because they're going to happen in the flow of this Wolves offense, if they can get more profitable post-up situations for Cat, then this team is going to stop massively struggling in the half court. That's what's happened these past three games. That's what happened tonight against the Lakers, and it's why I think, as we sit here right now, that things are beginning to look up for the Wolves offense this season. All right, we are going to take a quick break here and then get back to it with the other Wolves players who I thought impacted the win tonight outside of Karl Anthony Towns. If you watch the game, you know that it's going to be a lot of Jared Vanderbilt talk here.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we are back discussing the Timberwolves' 18-point win over the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday night. If you look at the first half box score, as we were just talking about with Kat, the story was pretty well told in the box score. Kat was dominating. He had 23 first half points. But surrounding him in that box score, you could tell that he really wasn't getting any other help. In the game, the Wolves missed their first 13 three-point attempts on the night. And overall, for the first half, the starters outside of Kat only shot a combined 9 of 26 from the field. So what actually led to the Wolves having a 9-point lead at halftime, other than Kat's 23 points, was additional possessions. And those possessions, unsurprisingly, were generated by Jared Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had 8 rebounds in the first quarter, 3 of which were offensive rebounds. And then in the second quarter, Vando did his thing in the passing lane, and he got 2 steals that led to runouts that turned into offense. It's just such a bizarre sort of situation with Jared Vanderbilt. He is part of the reason the Wolves' offense has overall struggled this season. Scoring and shooting obviously are not his strengths. And that's led, as we've talked about at length, that's led to his man doubling Kat a lot of the time, which, as we were just talking about, has been causing Kat problems in the post. But simultaneously, Vanderbilt is almost single-handedly solving the Wolves' other offensive problem, which is three-point shooting, by just offensive rebounding so many of those three-point misses. Tonight, Vanderbilt joked after the game that the Nuggets game wasn't a very good game for him because his teammates were actually making so many shots he couldn't get offensive rebounds. And he said tonight was a good game for him because there were so many missed threes for him to go after. It's not hard to recognize that Vanderbilt does things that have a positive impact on the Wolves. But it is kind of tricky inherently to quantify the impact that Vanderbilt does have. I mean, offensive rebounds don't really have an exact value, right? Like, but they do have value of when you are creating the extra possession, but they also have this soft value of just being an offensive rebounding threat. You know, the team has to worry about you, and Vanderbilt certainly brings that. I mean, really, it's not getting that hyperbolic to say that what Jared Vanderbilt is doing is Dennis Rodman-y in the modern NBA. I asked Vanderbilt after the game about what he thinks, what he sees the value of those offensive rebounds to be, and whether or not, just because I didn't think anybody has explicitly asked him about Rodman before, I just kind of asked him about Rodman and what players have or who has influenced how he's put together his game. I thought these were really interesting answers from Vanderbilt, who is just clearly becoming an indispensable piece on this Wolves team.
Jared, a lot of people have compared the impact you have on the game to similar to the way Dennis Rodman impacted the game. And I'm curious, did you have players that you modeled your game after growing up?
Oh, my dude. I can't say Dennis Rodman was one of them, which the product I got to college until I kind of started, you know, playing in that role. But like I said, just trying to, you know, create a way. You know, I know it's the league of shooting right now. Everybody say you got to have a jump shot to play in this league, but just trying to still make an impact on the offensive end. You know, my motto is, you know, why not get our best shooters more shots? So, you know, so that's my motto going in there, getting the offensive rebound. I'm like, let's get one of our better shooters, you know, shooting the shots. And, you know, while I'm in there doing the dirty work. So, yeah.
It's kind of hard to quantify, like, an offensive rebound, the value. Obviously, like, a three-pointer is worth 3 points. How do you quantify the value of an offensive rebound?
I mean, I look at it like my points, you know, me generating, you know, extra possessions and So when I kick it out, get another three or an assist, two or three, or hockey assist, whatever you call it. I mean, I just look at it like my points, you know, it might not show up in the stat book or whatever, but, you know, I don't really, you know, play for stats. So, I just look at it just being unstoppable, just doing all the little stuff that's, you know, might not show up in the stat book, but, you know, it's game changing, it's winning plays, it's game changing plays, you know, gets the team going and changes the momentum.
Yeah, I just thought that line on how this league is becoming a shooting league, like Cat, when he spoke earlier, was just really self-aware by Vanderbilt and also really accurate. I mean, it's undeniable that Jared Vanderbilt is generating this team's best shooters more shots. And it's a good reminder that this team's offensive problems are not all about Vanderbilt, not at all. Yes, there have undeniably been spacing issues this year, but the issue that's surrounding those spacing issues is that the team's best shooters have not hit shots at the clip they should. That's not on Vanderbilt. And if those shooters do get back to the levels we're accustomed to, if this team is making shots like we saw in Denver on Wednesday, then the value of Jared Vanderbilt only goes up, right? I mean, it's kind of twofold because the spacing problems will decrease. And then also the extra possessions that he is creating will increase in value if those shots are going in more often, the additional shots that he creates. The other player I want to highlight from tonight and will make him tonight's Forgotten Star of the game, presented by Forgotten Star Brewery, is Jalen Noel. As I mentioned earlier, Noel had 12 second half points for the Wolves tonight. It was a really similar impact felt by Noel to what we saw him contribute in the Portland game on Sunday. It's funny watching Noel. I mean, he's a pretty talented scorer and creator. I just wish it didn't feel like 90% of the shots Noel took were like a 9 out of 10 on the difficulty scale. But I think the fact that he is able to even generate shots that are a 9 out of 10 on the difficulty scale is what makes Noel the best option in this open Wolves bench guard role. I mean, Bomaro, Okogie, McLaughlin, whoever, they can't generate those shots. And the Wolves need that shot generation. We also just don't often get the chance to talk to Jalen Noel, and thus you all don't often get to hear much from Noel. So I'm going to play a few of the questions and Noel's answers from tonight's media availability. One just on Noel getting the opportunity, and then also I asked Noel about his relationship and the relationship of the players on the team with Chris Finch as the coach.
Jalen, you've worked really hard over these last, you know, since coming into the league to try and get a role in this rotation. Just what does it mean to you now, like to be called upon and relied upon Friday night, ESPN game, Lakers, you know, down Ant, down Prince, to, for, you know, for them to look to you for, you know, have some responsibility on your shoulders when you got in there?
Everything I could ask for. Ever since I came in, I wanted to show that I can take that responsibility. You know, I work very hard. So, you know, I just trusted the work when I got in there. It wasn't anything special. Just make sure to be aggressive. That's really it. It's really no overthinking, no anything. Simple as that.
What is it like playing with Cap when he's at the level that he's at right now? And especially in that first half when you guys were having trouble hitting shots, for him to be able to kind of carry you offensively during that stretch?
No, he carried us over the top, sure. I think that's why we were, you know, had so much confidence, especially on the defensive end. We knew that Cat was getting buckets, and you know, we just need to get stops. And you know, we made sure we played hard, and we just Cat just put us on his back. Today, simple.
Jalen, Coach Finch has been here for almost a year now. How has the relationship and respect that you as players have in him grown over the course of that time?
I mean, man, he's a great basketball coach. Knows the game really well. Just me personally, you know, watching how hard he works, how he studies the game, how he, you know, tells us certain ways of, you know, scoring in certain ways of, you know, defensive end type things. Got a lot of respect for that.
Communication, like an effective communicator. With
yeah, guys, yeah, definitely. He knows how to talk to guys, you know, differently. The way you talk to Cat is the same way you would talk to like D-Lo. The way you talk to D-Lo is the same way you would talk to Malik. So he knows how to bring out the best in every single player on the roster.
I wanted to ask that last bit about Finch because for me, just anecdotally watching the bench, I feel like I've seen the respect the players have in Chris Finch grow this season. And I think it's noteworthy that Jalen Noel is saying that about Finch, as Noel is a player who for most of the season has been buried outside of the rotation. I think respect from Jalen Noel goes a long way to that end. There seems to me to be a real understanding between the players and Finch. And I think that's so critical for Finch. I mean, Finch is a coach who, if he's going to have success with his system, that system is just predicated, right, on flow and interconnectedness on both sides of the floor. So you have to be connected to your players to be able and to get them to connect to each other to make that happen. So back to Jalen Noel, 14 points in 19 minutes tonight. That makes him tonight's forgotten star of the game. I'm encouraged to see Noel here in a role going forward. We'll see how much, at least in this time that Anthony Edwards and Torian Prince are going to miss. We don't know how long that will be. But certainly, for however long that is, Jalen Noel will have a role in this Wolves rotation. Also, related to Forgotten Star, a reminder that Britt Robson and myself will be at Forgotten Star Brewery on Tuesday evening for a watch party of the Wolves game against the Dallas Mavericks. It's a road game in Dallas, so we thought this would be a good time to all gather. So keep your evening free on December 21st. Tip-off is at 6:30 p.m. Get there early to get yourself a seat if you'd like. Forgotten Star will have multiple TVs going. They're going to have a big screen projector, as I understand it, as well. So should be fun. Come on out to Forgotten Star on Tuesday. We'll wrap this episode that is becoming very long and recorded very late in the night with my prize picks from tonight's Wolves game. I was certainly on a bit of a cooler coming into this one, but tonight I went 3-1 on my four picks, and I was one more D'Lo assist away from a perfect 4-0. The over-under on assists from D'Lo tonight was 6.5. I took the over. He finished with 6. I definitely don't think that was an indication of a bad game from D'Lo. I've kind of, not that D'Lo's taking a backseat would be the wrong way, but I think I've really liked how D'Lo has kind of let Cat and Ant flex over these past few games. D'Lo is very willing to just kind of be the quarterback when those two are rolling. And tonight, I also think he was passing the ball well. I think it was an over 6.5 assist game. Just overall, the Wolves shot under 30% from three, so they missed. I think his teammates kind of cost him this, or cost me this bet tonight. I did get the over correct on 13.5 points for Malik Beasley. I think the logic there was pretty straightforward. No Ant means Beasley's bandwidth in the offense is just going to grow, right? Beasley started tonight for the first time this year in Ant's place. He played 32 minutes and finished with 17 points despite only making 3 of his 13 three-point attempts. I also took the over on 3 made free throws for LeBron. These are becoming a pretty good bet against the Wolves. The opposing teams like alpha wing scorer seems to get fouled a lot by the Wolves. Overall, I would say it was not a great game from LeBron, who finished with 18 and 10 on the night, but only shot 5 of 13 from the field. He did get to the line for 8 free throws and made 6 of them. The other one I got correct was the under on 7.5 points for Jared Vanderbilt. We just kind of know at this point that Vanderbilt's offensive shots are few and far in between. That's not his role. He finished with only 4 points tonight, but that, of course, wasn't any sort of impact or indication of what his impact was on this game. Only 4 points scored for Vanderbilt, but in the 31 minutes that Vando was on the floor, the Wolves won those 31 minutes by 24 points. So 3-1 on the night brings me to exactly 500 on the year with my prize picks 52, 52, and 4. If you would like to try out prize picks, you can play along with me. It's easy to download the prize picks app. You can go to prizepicks.com to create an account. When you do that, use the promo code Dane and they will add $100 to your deposit. Go ahead, see if you can do better than my 500 winning percentage over this next stretch of games. All right, that is all I've got for you tonight. That's 3 wins in a row for the Wolves. The next 2 games are both against Dallas, Sunday night at home, and then Tuesday night in Dallas. I will talk to you on Sunday night, and I will see you, or hopefully many of you, on Tuesday night at Forgotten Star. Until then, I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah. It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.